Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
We also know that God, through His Son, our Lord Savior, has given us three commands that sum up the entirety of the Scriptures. He has told us so, and in that we will go, for we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world, teaching these things, and through these things, all of the Scripture, from the first letter to the last letter, are proclaimed. So may we be truly the heart of Jesus Christ, who while He was here, showed us those very truths, and we too are to follow His example. Today, I am continuing in our Advent. This is our third Sunday in Advent, as you can see by our Advent wreath and the candle lighting. And this time of year, how many of you look forward to these Sunday services during Advent? I really do. I love this time of year. I look forward to every Sunday because I look forward to seeing our church and having you folks out there that connect with us, be with us. Because it's a time of gathering, amen? It is the ecclesia coming into existence. But at this time of year, we have a reason to get together. The rest of the world, I'm not so sure. You know, they celebrate happy holidays, right? But we celebrate Christmas. Can I get an amen, church? Because we know what Christmas is. Christmas is our celebration of the coming of the Son of God. Now, did it happen on December 25th? Absolutely not. We all know that. Okay, and people say we're hypocrites. Yes, we admit we're hypocrites. Okay, that's one of the great things about the church. We're all broken. There was only one who was right, and we killed him. But now we follow him in ardent love and honor. And in that truth we stand. We know that this holiday was actually a pagan holiday celebrated at several different places in the world for several different reasons. And the Catholic Church, as it was trying to evangelize the world, used it as a way of showing the folks that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Because they were celebrating the turning, that now the light would finally start to come and spring would be here and life would renew. Well, we all know, who does that literally represent? It represents Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And that light has come. So we celebrate December 25th. When is Jesus' birthday? I'm going to tell you right now, many have guessed, but we will never know. Because if you think about it logistically, okay, logically, Jesus Christ always was. He is eternal, okay? Yes, He was born of the Virgin Mary, but He existed beforehand. And in that, we must realize He is God. But how can you say that, Pastor? Jesus never really said He was God, did He? Well, we're going to talk about that today, because the sermon title today is, Are You the One Who Is to or Was to Come? Okay? That's the way it's spoken in the Scriptures. Are you the one who was to come? Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. We are going to be in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I'm going to read a whole lot more than just that little verse that our ladies read to us today as we lit the candles. I'm going to read chapter 11 in its entirety, and then we're going to break it down. There's three sections here that I want us to look at, and I want us to hear this whole thing, and then we're going to break it down. So from the first verse in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, the word of our Lord, may we give heed. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to His 12 disciples, He departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you were willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children and say, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend to tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by their deeds." Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend into Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I read these words and I contemplate where we are in this season, and I think about what John was going through at this period of time, John knew who Jesus was. Can I get an amen, church? God, you know, John knew this was the Messiah. He actually said that to the people who were there with him when Jesus came to be baptized. And as we think on that, here John is. He's looking for this Messiah. He's looking for deliverance. He's looking for the world to change. Was it what God had in plan, or was it what John wanted to have happen? You see, we all have expectations. We all want Jesus, we all want God, we all want the Holy Spirit to be Santa Claus. Well, I hate to tell you all, Santa Claus died a long time ago. St. Nicholas has a burial ground, he is in the tomb, we all know who he was, and no, there is no such thing as flying reindeer. It amazes me where I see our world taking Christmas and what we've done with Christmas and how we want God. You know, we understand that God is God, but we want God to be our Santa Claus. Why do you think the Santa Claus idiom has carried as long as it has carried? Because he gives us the gifts that we want. No. No, he doesn't. He gives us the gifts that he knows we need. He gives us himself, which is the fullness of everything, but yet is without our desires, but his desires. And we have to come to a place in our relationship with him where we have to wrestle with the question that John asked. What was the question that John asked? What was the question that he sent his disciples to ask? And they ask, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? I want you to think about that question. How many people in our world do not look at Jesus as the Christ, do not look at him as the Messiah? And yet I'm going to say to you, every one of them who says they don't really do. Do you know how I can prove it? And this is an amazing thing, and you're all going to hate me for it, but it's the truth. How many people cuss in Buddha's name? How many people cuss in Muhammad's name? How many people take the name of Jesus or God the Father in vain? Why do we do that? Because we know he is God and we're coming against him. Every one of us in our being knows he is God. We cannot deny it. Because nobody takes the name of Buddha in vain. Nobody takes the name of Allah in vain. Because it has no reason, no purpose, no rhyme. We take the Lord's name in vain because is that not one of the great commandments? And we are in rebellion. Every person on the planet believes in Jesus Christ. We all know who he is. But we ask the question, are you really the one? How many of us do that every time we doubt? How many of us do that every time we're scared? How many of us do that every time we fail? We are literally questioning, are you really God? Are you going to do something? You know, that's why our kids tempt us. That's why they don't tempt us, but that's why they try us. Okay, they're looking for the boundaries. And guess what? We're just big kids. John here was in prison. Isn't that what we just read? John was in prison. He said, wait a minute. I baptized the Lord. I baptized the Messiah. You're the one who was to come. And now this is happening to me. Woe is me. How many of us look forward to all the goodness that's going to come when we accept Jesus into our lives? We think everything's going to go smoothly, nothing's going to go wrong. And you see, that's why some of these folks that are out there in the world, they won't come to Christ because they see Christians suffering. They see suffering in the world and they say, well, he can't be God because that wouldn't happen. No, he has to be God because that's happening. Because that's our fault. That's not his fault. Could he stop it? Yes, he could stop it in a heartbeat. He could stop all the evil in a heartbeat. But to do so, would we have free will anymore? Absolutely not. And God will not go against God. God cannot lie. God cannot change. God is the same yesterday, today, and in that, we need to understand that Jesus here says, wait a minute, look, what do you see happening? What's going on? And his answer to John is this: the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers, oh my gosh, that's twice now I've said that. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Brothers and sisters, when we look at the signs of what is going on, we have to understand where we are and in whose presence we are. How many of you are looking at the signs of what's happening in our world today? I'll guarantee you there are more people looking at the signs today than ever before. You know, the scripture speaks of a great awakening. And a lot of theologians have said, oh, that great awakening is going to be all these people coming to Christ. No, it's not. Read the book. That great awakening is an awakening to the evil in our world. That great awakening is an awakening of people saying, oh my God, something's wrong. And he's up in heaven saying, yes, it is. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to choose me or not? And is that not the very same thing Jesus is saying to John right now? Are you going to stick with me? Are you going to see what's going on? And are you going to walk with me all the rest of my days? And then he goes into a wonderful oration of John and what John was meant to be and how John was meant to be the one to initiate this thing coming in. And that there's no one greater in the kingdom of heaven. He was the last prophet before the Messiah. Sorry, Islam. Because there's no one after the Messiah. Can I prove that? Yes, I can, and I will with my next scripture. But we all need to understand, where are we? Whose are we? What's going on? What's happening in this world? When we are looking into this world, am I being purged? Am I looking at my life and things are changed? That's why I wore the shirt today. Do you like this one? Okay, I love it. You want to talk about my past? You should know, Jesus dropped the charges. Because he's already washed it away. He's the only one who can. And he has. And all I have to do is believe and receive the payment of his crucifixion, his bloodshed, his life given up for me, for you, for each and every one of us who will love him for what he has done, for who he is. The Son of God, God, very God. And we're going to look at that before we leave today. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is that one who was to come, who is to come. Can I get an amen, church? He says to us in the book of Revelation, the very first chapter, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. That's Jesus' words to us. And when we think about who he is and what he is and what he's done and what he's given to us, he says to us that we are his in heaven. He says to us that we who call upon the name of the Lord have these hidden things from verses 25 through 30 brought out to us. He tells us that these things have been hidden from the wise and intelligent and revealed to infants. You know, I'm amazed at the number of people who have said to me over the years, Pastor, I have a hard time with the Bible. I read it and yet I don't understand it. I don't understand it because it's just too confusing for me. And I'll ask them, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they'll say, well, I come to church. I didn't ask you that. Satan comes to church every Sunday. Did you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to forgive you? Have you received the cross of Calvary as your payment? Have you received the blood of the Lamb? Well, I don't know about all that stuff. Well, then you'll never know about the Bible. You'll never understand because God only reveals to God. You need to understand that. Our minds are finite. God's mind is infinite. And in this book are infinite things. We cannot comprehend them lest God lead us into them. And did not Jesus say that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things? And in that we stand. And it's understanding that only those who receive Jesus Christ can truly understand the depths of these words. And how many of you are still working that out? Because I'll guarantee you, there are times I plumb out the word and it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper because God's meaning is so much greater than my finite meaning. Because when I look at this in English, I have to remember it wasn't given to us in English. The New Testament was given to us in two different languages. Do you know what those two different languages are? Aramaic and Greek. And then the Old Testament was given to us in a wholly other language, which is completely not spoken anymore, because the modern day Hebrew is not ancient Hebrew. So we're looking at dead languages that we can't comprehend, but it's been translated into a form of English that we can gain some type of comprehension. But the depth therein is so much greater because we have to look at the original languages and find out the true meanings of those words. And people say to me, well, that's just too confusing. No, it's not, because the word of salvation, the word of God, contains everything as it is given to us unto the salvation of man. Can I get an amen? But once saved, then God says, now dig in. Because I'm going to guarantee you right now, this word, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I mean this in a good way, this word has teeth. This word has teeth, and it will sink into your soul. And it will draw you in, not unto death, but unto life. And it will give you a revelation of Jesus Christ and his hope and his desires. Not like John. John wanted out of jail. John did not want to be in jail because John knew that things were not good. In fact, it led to his death. Amen? We all know that. But God's purpose and plan and our purpose and plan are two different things, because the scriptures had to be fulfilled that every prophet, please look at it, every prophet prior to Jesus was killed by the people of Israel. Even John. And then the Messiah. Think about it. Let God's word be true in every man. When we think about who Jesus is, does the scripture show us that he is God, very God, light, very light? Yes, it does. Turn in your Bibles with me. Turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John in the 10th chapter. Now, I'm not reading the whole chapter this time, but I'm going to read most of it. We're going to start in 10:1, and we're going to read through verse 30, because these scriptures are the scriptures that speak to us. There are more scriptures than these that speak to us, but I needed to pare it down. I needed to make this smaller. I needed to get this to the key notes that I want us all to understand. And it says to us from John in the first verse in the 10th chapter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He puts forth all his own. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" At that time, the feast of dedication took place in Israel. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, whom has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I look to these words and I think about where we are and looking at answering the question, are you the one who was to come? And we know that he is, but there are many people out there in the world who don't want to answer that question, because if they answer that question properly, then that means they're responsible to the answer. Amen? You know, all of us are responsible to the reality that 2 + 2 = Are you sure about that? Because in this world today, I don't quite know about that. Because that's the way they're teaching our children today. And y'all think I'm nuts. I am not nuts. That is literally what they're doing in the schools today. Now, all the schools? No. Some of the schools? Yes. And more of them than you would want to believe. Doesn't matter if you come up with the right answer. What matters is, do you have an idea? I'm sorry. If I'm laying on an operating table, I want that surgeon to know where everything is in me. I don't want him to have an idea. I don't want the man who's building the bridge that I'm going to drive across with a 5,000-pound truck having an idea. I want him to know that that bridge is going to support the weight of my vehicle plus all the vehicles that are on that road with me. I don't care about your ideas. I care about facts. And the fact of the matter is, when we look to this word, there are several things that show us, yes, he is the one who was to come and who is to come. Can I get an amen, church? And as we look at that, look at verse 9. I want you to think about verse 9. Verse 9, Jesus here is responding to all of us. Jesus says, and let's go back first. Before I go to verse 9, got to take you back. He says to us from verses 1 and 2, "But I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs in some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." You and I need to understand, what's Jesus talking about there? How did Jesus come into this world? How did Jesus come into this world? He was born as one of us, anointed of God and carried by the power of God. Just as you and I must be anointed by God and carried by the power of God. There's only one way in, and that is through God. And we know from verse 9, what does Jesus tell us? I am the door. That's the first time he told us he was God, in this very verse. There's only one way into heaven, and that is through God. Only God can make this happen. You can only get into heaven because of God. We are all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. We are devoid of anything good. No one is good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we all know it. Each and every one of us knows it. All of you out there know what sin is. Right now, some of you are convicted because you're walking in sin today. You're not in church because you're in sin today. Now, there are those of you out there who know you're not in sin. You're people that can't come to church because of physical disabilities and such. Okay, so I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those others. And I'm talking to some of us. How many of us? There are Sunday mornings we get up and we're like, oh, man, I don't know about going to church, man. I had a really rough week, and I did this, and I did that. And man, if I walk in there, the whole building's coming down on everybody. Got some of you looking at me with smirks on your faces. You know, I used to have a wonderful brother in Christ. He literally thought that. He thought if he went into the church and if he came into the church, that he would mess everything up because there's no way God would accept him. Well, that's so wrong. That is such a lie because Jesus says, hey, I'm the door. The only way you get in is through me. And did not Jesus pay the price for each and every one of us? And when we understand that and when we accept that, then we walk in. Because Jesus also goes on, he says, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Do you know what those statements mean? Now, I cannot take credit for this, and I'm plagiarizing right now, but I'm plagiarizing from a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful teacher known as Spurgeon. I want to repeat his words because I have to give credit to where credit is due. Okay? Yes, I'm a man of God. Yes, I study the Word. But I want to use words of long ago. Words of a man that God used far greater than me. And he says this. He shall be saved. The fugitive manslayer passed the gate of the city of refuge and was safe. What's he talking about? The city of refuge was a place where if you accidentally killed somebody, you know, say you're chopping a tree down and the axe head flies off and hits somebody, well, you would flee to a city of refuge because according to the Old Testament law, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And if you killed somebody, then your life could be exacted from you. But he did not do it on purpose. It was an accident. So you would flee to the city of refuge and then a trial would take place. And the whole incident would be looked at. And if you were found as, yes, this accident happened, there may be retribution to pay, but your life would not be exacted. So this is exactly what is being talked about here. And you shall be saved. If we went to that city of refuge, who is our city of refuge? Jesus Christ. Noah entered the door of the ark and was saved. Each and every one of us knows and understands that all of humanity would have been wiped out had it not been for that ark, had it not been for that boat that God had this man build for 120 years. He and his sons and their wives all went into that boat. He invited everybody in, didn't he? For all those years, he asked them to repent, and they laughed at him. What happened the day the door was shut? I'll guarantee you they were outside looking to get in. We need to understand that Noah saw Jesus Christ. He understood Jesus Christ, that there was one who was to come who would be the Savior of all mankind. And that one, he was trusting to save himself and his family and all those who would come. No one can be lost who takes Jesus as the door of faith to their souls. Entrance through Jesus into peace is the guarantee of entrance by the same door into heaven. I love that statement. You see, we don't enter into heaven here, but we enter into peace when we come into Christ. What is that peace? Peace between us and God. God is no longer hostile towards us because we're no longer hostile towards God. The love of God through Christ Jesus has captured us and is holding us, and we need to hold on to Him. I mean, I want you to think about that. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for our sins are no longer remembered by a heavenly Father. There is no one else who can do that. Is he the one who is to come, or should we look for another? We don't have to look for anybody else. There is no one else. Jesus is the Christ. He is the only one who has paid the price for our sins and our salvation. We all need to understand. This is the first time he says that he is God. But he says to us, and he shall go in. He shall be privileged to go in among the divine family, sharing the children's bread and participating in all their honors and enjoyments. He shall go into the chambers of communion, to the banquets of love, to the treasures of the covenant, to the storehouses of the promise. He shall go in to the King of Kings and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the secret of the Lord shall be with him. We go in. How do you think the word is revealed to us? Because we enter in through the power of God, not through our own understanding. You know, I think about who I am. And I, you know, Jesus said this, and I'm going to repeat what he said. I am a worm. How many of you here today, how many of you out there today can say that? Because we are sinners. None of us deserve the love that we have received in Jesus Christ. None of us deserve the salvation we have received in Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, receive me, and you get to come into all this stuff. You get to see God. You can be in his presence. How many of you see God every day? Oh, my heavens. I don't go a day that I don't see God. Now, does that mean that my days aren't hard? No. There are days I don't want to answer my phone when you call me. Because I know there's trouble on the other end. But by the grace of God, go I. Amen? Because we know God is going to lead us to the victory. God is going to help us to get through, but we don't do it alone. He calls us together to help one another, to love one another, to walk with one another, to encourage one another, all the more as we see the day encroaching. Amen. And it's encroaching quickly. But then he also says, not only in the coming in, because in the coming in there's safety, but we need to go out. We need to understand. We are to go. Amen. Church, we are to go. To come in, we find the love of God and we find the love of others. Am I speaking honestly? But when we go out, we are to take the love of God out. We are to take the love of others out and the message of the gospel out. And he shall go out. This blessing is much forgotten. We go out into the world to labor and suffer. But what a mercy to go in the name and power of Jesus. We are called to bear witness to the truth, to cheer the disconsolate, to warn the careless, to win souls, and to glorify God. And as the angel said to Gideon, go in this thy might. Even thus the Lord would have us proceed as his messengers in his name and in his strength. Can I get an amen? When I look at what Spurgeon wrote here, tearing those three pieces down, actually four pieces down, and proclaiming the truth that Jesus is our salvation, he brings us to that place because there is no one else. There is no other name under heaven or in earth by which men must be saved. That we are protected in our going in, we are protected in our going out, and the fourth one is this, he shall find pasture. He who knows Jesus shall never want. Going in and out shall be alike helpful to him. In fellowship with God he shall grow. And in watering others, he shall be watered. Having made Jesus his all, he shall find all in Jesus. His soul shall be as water, a watered garden, and as a well of water whose waters never fail. How many of us in the days of trial and trouble, all we have to do is turn to Jesus and all of a sudden we find strength? That's called finding pasture. Okay? That is finding strength. Because it is in that pasture, it is in that calm place where we are strengthened, where we are fed, where we are watered, where we are rejuvenated, that we may go out again. And I'm going to tell you right now, how many of us recite the 23rd Psalm and we blow right through what we just read? Because everything I just read to you is the 23rd Psalm. And in that, we have the valley of the shadow of death. That's our going out. In that, we have the pasture. He maketh me to lie down beside quiet waters. He leadeth me to green pastures. Yes, and I said that backwards. I'm sorry. We need to understand, in the presence of mine enemies, he prepareth for me a table, and he anointeth my head with oil. Jesus is the Christ, he who was, who is, and is to come. From verse 30, is it verse 30? Yes, verse 30, the last verse. He says, I and the Father are one. And at that, the Jews tried to stone him. Why did the Jews try to stone him? What did Jesus just say? People have told me Jesus never said he was God. Jesus just said in Hebrew, because this is the interpretation in English of what he said, I and the Father are one. In Hebrew, he just said, I am God. Do you know who he is? Do you believe who he is? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He was spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic Church and one apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And the church says, pray with me this day. Father God, we know who you are. We have accepted that very truth, and we know that you are coming again. There's no one else, it's you. You, Lord Jesus, are God of very God, light of light, Son of God, begotten, not created. So, Lord, we come to you with these very truths in our heart, and we push them out in the glory of your name, that others may receive this truth, that you are God. You have told us you are God, and we know you are God in the depths of our beings. So, Lord, may all those who now, spirits are quickened, may they receive you unto themselves. May they receive the payment of your crucifixion, that your death on that cross is the payment that each of us owe, but you, Lord Jesus, took, that we may receive life from you, in you, and through you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Guide us this day, Lord, as we look forward to the coming of Christmas and the hope of your coming for the church, and then your second coming to establish all things in holiness. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.